you want a vision of the future, Winston, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Someone is trying to teach me a lesson in futility. Why am I the only one who isn't killed?
They will run you dizzy. They will pile falsehood on top of falsehood until you can't tell a lie from the truth and you won't even want to. That's how the powerful keep their power. Don't you read the papers?
I'm going to get your money for you. But if you don't get the President of the United States on that phone, you know what's going to happen to you?
What?
You're going to have to answer to the Coca-Cola company.
The world is a college of corporations, inexorably determined by the immutable bylaws of business. The world is a business, Mr. Beale. It has been since man crawled out of the slime.
Welcome back. Another episode of Our Interesting Times. It is my pleasure to have Dr. Eric Carlstrom on the show. He returns to discuss, well, I guess the recent election debacle or events, post-election debacle, I guess we can call it now, and also the encroaching techno-tyranny and, of course, the economic warfare that apparently is being waged against humanity under the cover of this ongoing fake pandemic. It's apparently a never-ending story. It's a design never-ending. Of course, Dr. Carlstrom's primary website is gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, which is dedicated to providing educational resources for individuals and groups interested in learning about organized gang stalking, electronic torture, and mind control behavioral manipulation. He is an emeritus professor of geography at California State University. Dr. Carlstrom, how are you doing this evening?
Pretty well, considering, Tim. It's good to be talking to you again and comparing notes in this, I would say, beyond interesting times now. Now we're getting into really, really revolutionary times. And, all I can say is good luck to you and good luck to our listeners. And pray to God, but keep rowing to shore, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, last year, I guess it was in March, but national economies, 193 countries, members of the UN, were ordered to close down their economies. I guess this was early March. The order came, apparently, although it was presented as if governments had made these decisions, national governments, state governments. But those who have looked into this issue, it looks like the order came down from Wall Street and the World Economic Forum. We can make connections. The great foundations and the politicians who are ultimately controlled by these interests throughout the world enforced these so-called lockdowns, supposedly to contain the spread, all just under the guise of public health. Of course, the result of this, millions of people have lost their jobs, lifelong savings have been wiped out. Developing countries, it's even worse. Poverty, people are on the verge or are starving to death. Of course, we're told this is necessary because there is the virus with a capital V that's out there to get us. And this is why we must, accept being bankrupt and being thrown out of work and being thrown out of our homes and accepting this new austerity. But I think we'll get into this, but the evidence suggests that this novel coronavirus, this pandemic, is just a pretext for a scheme to transfer wealth and consolidate power, to bring in a neo-feudal era under technocracy. And I don't think the election and the subsequent events after the election, with the controversy, with the electoral fraud, of course, yesterday's events in Capitol, if you want to say a few things about that, where we had this, oh, now they're calling it an insurrection or a coup, which, if you know what those words mean, that's ridiculous. A coup, an insurrection, usually suggest elite power within the government with logistical planning and all that. What was a mass rally on behalf of Donald Trump, a lame duck president, and also, I guess you could say, a protest against election fraud. Hundreds of thousands, if not in excess of a million people, converged in Washington, D.C., which was, an impressive outpouring of support, and also demonstration of people's anxiety or concern about this issue. Went off pretty peacefully, but then at the end of the day, after just when they started beginning to read in the electoral votes and debate was supposed to begin in Congress regarding electoral college votes, there was actual reports that as a dozen senators and over 100 House representative members of the House of Representatives were going to challenge the electoral college, the validity, particularly of those of six or seven states. Just when they started debating this, the Capitol building was, quote, stormed. And, of course, if you see the video, there is some raucous behavior in some areas. But some areas, the Capitol police seemed to have let the people in, a few people in, and maybe a few hundred got in out of the hundreds of thousands that were down there. And some got a little raucous. They ran around. They were given free rein. There was a showdown. Unfortunately, there was some violence. Reportedly, five people were killed, or at least four or five. One young lady was reportedly shot to death by a security guard, some say with Mike Pence's team. I'm sure that's not quite clear yet. In any event, this stopped any debate about the electoral fraud, about the disposition of the electoral college vote. We are no longer debating that. Now it's all a question of how they can remove Donald Trump from office, even though he's less than 10 days in office. There's talk of invoking the 25th Amendment. They're trying to rush through a second impeachment attempt. It's pretty absurd considering the timing of all this and the fact that we are in the waning days of the Trump administration. It's strange because it leads all people to speculate why they're doing this. There's some speculation that there's an insurrection order that's been signed, and this is sort of the QAnon thing, I think, that's still out there somewhere, that somehow it's being organized, that people are going to be arrested and all the bad people are going to be thrown in jail and the Republic will be saved. You know, the QAnon theory lives, I guess you could say. But that's where we are. What do you have to say about what's going on?
Well, I mean, to watch your country be overthrown in a communist revolution, as we've seen, I think, in the last year, is most disconcerting. America, for its faults, is kind of the pillar, supposedly the pillar of democracy in the world, and if and when America falls as a bastion of, well, at least a partial bastion of democracy, then the fascist totalitarian forces, the global fascist totalitarian forces of the UN, the World Economic Forum, and Federal Reserve, City of London, et cetera, the real powers that be. There's nothing standing in their way. So I believe, Tim, what we've seen over the last year is extraordinarily well orchestrated and well planned series, a lot of political theater, the result of many simulations and many drills, the result of deals and whatnot, that, you know, memos of understanding that we can ferret out, and we can see, as you know, we talked just briefly before we started this discussion, that Catherine Austin Fitz, who writes the Solari report, has an explanation for all of this, which makes a lot of sense, which is that the dollar has been the world's reserve currency. The people at the top, Federal Reserve, City of London, et cetera, are not satisfied with that. They would like to change the financial system to go to digital currency, and they figure, well, while we're changing things, let's have the end of all currency and let's go ahead and hook up every human being to the Pentagon cloud and track and trace all of their movements, and will award them credits on the company's store, equivalents of cryptocurrencies or whatever, and then we will be able to exert total control over them. So what they are envisioning is a complete slavery system, the likes of which most people can't imagine. Having been a targeted individual myself now since at least 2004, and having studied this and written about it quite a bit on my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com website, it now becomes pretty clear that post-World War II, there has been an effort to merge man and machine in cybernetics, and this is tracing to the Macy conferences and MK Ultra of the CIA, et cetera, starting in the 1940s with brilliant mathematicians like Dr. Norbert Wiener, who in 1955 invented this thing called the autocorrelator, a machine that would read EEGs or electroencephalograms, brainwaves essentially, and not only send EEGs to brains along 12 channels at that time in 1955, but also receive them and interpret them. And in 1959, under MK Ultra, subproject 119, Saul B. Sells, Texas Christian University, wanted to activate the human subject. Now, what he meant by activate the human subject was communicate directly with these electromagnetic frequencies. So since then, since 1955, 1959, these projects have moved forward, this attempt to actually remotely control people as if they are radio receivers has radically improved, you know, as we go through the work of Dr. Jose Delgado right up to the present with Elon Musk and his Neuralink, you know, which he wants to sell to everybody for $2,000 or $3,000, and we can get hooked up to the cloud and get much, much smarter. Well, this is ultimately a way of total surveillance, and not only that, but total control of the behavior and the minds of individuals. So what, unfortunately, our leaders have envisioned for us now is a slavery system, the likes of which very few people can even comprehend. But again, this is where Catherine Austin Fitz is very good, saying, okay, in 2019, at Jackson Hole, the Federal Reserve got together under Stanley Fisher, who was the vice president of the Bank of Israel and also vice president of the Federal Reserve. And they decided to adopt this go direct policy as part of the great reset of Klaus Schwab. And that not only that, but, you know, there was a memo of understanding between the UN and the World Economic Forum in June of last year, 2019. And not only that, but in 2019, there were these big contracts between Microsoft and the Pentagon to create this gigantic cloud net that hopefully these guys hope everyone will be included in. So now you'll have this kind of global hive mind, and with supercomputers and satellites, they'll be able to track and trace everybody. And there's two others. There's the Navy contract, I think, with I can't remember who, but there's another one, the Jedi Cloud. So there's these three great big cloud systems which are coming out of the Pentagon. So what we have to start to see, based on, again, Catherine Austin Fitz's, I would say, brilliant work, is that there is a plan afoot, which is very, very, very complex, which draws on more or less black science of the last 100 years, which is more or less ready to go. And our banking leaders in the Federal Reserve, City of London, et cetera, would like to move us beyond currencies and into this system where we become merged with the Borg. And of course, essential to all of this plan is that we ourselves merge with the machine in a cybernetic sense. And so we get nanotech and mRNA particles in us that actually change our DNA and turn us into kind of an operating system that Bill Gates and others will have a back door into. And so, again, I've got a whole series of her interviews on my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com. She's got this new publication. I think it's called Beyond Currencies or something like that. It's the State of Our Currencies. So this I think the umbrella explanation for what she calls the magic virus, which is to control people through fear of some invisible enemy. And then, of course, the real bioweapon then is the vaccine. So what they are actually envisioning then is moving us from a system where we have some freedom of movement and thought to a system where we don't have any freedom of movement or thought. And it's about the most despicable, reprehensible future that you could possibly imagine for humans. In fact, it's a post-human future that they have in store for us. So Catherine Austin Fitz does make the claim and the point that, okay, they're setting a trap for us. They have set a trap, but the trap hasn't sprung yet. We can still opt out of the system by not cooperating with it. So therefore, I see a real cause and reason to continue trying to explain what really is going on. Now, okay, so that's the backdrop. The backdrop is a fake virus, fake pandemic, world lockdown of the economy so that they bankrupt the middle class and then the very few get very, very rich and move us into a total enslavement system as per Bill Gates' 060606 total enslavement patent, which actually talks about putting this material in your body, which then will be hooked up to the cloud. And if you're behaving appropriately based on the powers that are surveilling you, you will get credits on the company store and will be, you know, allowed to consume some equivalent of food, I guess, Soylent Green, I don't know. And if you don't, then you're cut off. So very much from a Christian point of view, this is the mark of the beast system. And it must be resisted at all costs. I mean, now we're up against demonic evil of the highest order. These people, according to Catherine Austin Fitz, view themselves as a different species. They're doing a breakaway civilization. They expect to live for 150 years. They don't need us anymore because they'll have robotics to do 80% of the work. So, you know, and then they'll get some humans to teach the robots how to. So they're really planning the phasing humans out of existence. I think what they're expecting for themselves is kind of an augmented existence where they will, you know, get the Neuralink and they'll all be brilliant and they'll all have many encyclopedias worth of information in their brain and they'll have bionics so they live forever. Just kind of like the deal that the serpent offered Eve in the garden. You know, you will live as gods and you surely will not die. I think this is what the sons and daughters of Satan have longed for a long, long time. I don't pull my punches. We are dealing with the sons and daughters of Satan. We're dealing with the synagogue of Satan. We're dealing with Judeo-Masonic Satanists who are controlling this thing from the top down. So very much on the order of the Jacobin Revolution in France in 1789, and then the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. I think what we're seeing now is planned chaos with revolutionaries on the street. You know, Antifa is a Jewish revolutionary organization that's Jewish funded, goes back to the 1930s. Black Lives Matter is also funded by Soros and other Jews. So what we're looking at is the classic pincer movement, pressure from above, from the bankers, pressure from below, from the street revolutionaries whom they also pay. And, you know, going up to this last week with the demonstration of support for Trump, which, you know, was mostly peaceful. Certainly there were the agent provocateurs there who, you know, Antifa and Black Lives Matter and others, no doubt, who managed to turn it into something bloody and then turn around and then they have their people in Congress, Pelosi and Schumer, et cetera, to brand it as a new Pearl Harbor or as an insurrection. So what we're dealing with is a very, very concerted effort to destroy America and freedom and truth. I think the times are desperately evil. I do agree with Catherine Austin Fitz that the trap has not slammed shut. But we have an opportunity to wake up our fellow Americans and humans, not to support this system. And Catherine talks in her most recent interview, very interesting, about the pillars that of their system, which are all going to be integrated into your and my body if they get what they want. And this has to do the tech people building the cloud systems and the telecommunications. Of course, this is Facebook and Google and all those guys who are, you know, really directly working with the CIA and mostly Jews. The military is doing the space, the U.S. Space Force and Operation Warp Speed to get the shots in people's arms to turn us into an operating system that Bill Gates and his buddies can control. They're also putting up all the satellites. Then Big Pharma is making these injections that are full of these mystery ingredients like aborted fetal tissue and mRNA, DNA changing substances and nanotech and heavy metals and all kinds of rotten things. And then the media is pouring out the propaganda, and then the central bankers are engineering to the central bank crypto systems. So while they want us to think that these are separate events, actually these are all coming together to integrate into your body. Your body is the battlefield. My body is the battlefield. They want to control it. So just as perhaps we had slavery as a fundamental underpinning issue animating the Civil War, first Civil War in the United States, it could be that this what looks like it could become another Civil War, is also probably being driven by our slave masters, our would-be slave masters out of the City of London and the international bankers who want to find a better way because slavery is the most profitable business. So we're dealing with people without souls. We're dealing with psychopaths. We're dealing with pedophiles. We're dealing with, the Jeffrey Epstein scum types, psychopaths, pedophiles, parasites. There are not that many of them. We have to take them down, Tim. We have to call them out. We have to take them down. That was quite a diatribe. Are you still there?
I'm sorry. I had my mute on. A lot of people do see these events as being disparate and not really being related. COVID-19 being a black swan event, but it was anything but, really. I don't think there are any black swan events. I think they're all planted, but you can, for the of course you mentioned the what was happening with the debt and finances in the 2019 and the Jackson Hole meeting when the central bankers met, they decided to go direct, no longer deal with the various governments, but just bail out the banks. And of course the pandemic itself, the lockdown, was cover for this massive $6 trillion bailout. And also the closing of Main Street economy, the middle class, the source of middle class income, which is these small mid-sized businesses, local businesses. And this also destroys the political support for, largely the Republican Party, but the conservative, elements in society going after small business. It's a source of independent wealth and also just independent life and culture, because much of the global homo, as they call it, the agenda, the New World Order agenda, is being implemented through large corporations and human resource policies. And that way it isn't really being imposed by law per se, but just by policies, corporate policies, what's accepted. And of course, we're seeing that the cancel culture is a corporate affair. It isn't governmental, but yet it's almost everywhere now. It's being accepted. We see that with sports and corporations and advertising and people losing book deals because they don't have the right politics, or they overnight don't have the right politics, these sort of things. But of course, with the pandemic itself, you had Event 201, which war gamed the very scenario a few months before the actual event. You have various white papers or planning regarding pandemics, like Lockstep, that was out of the Rockefeller Foundation. I think it was published like in 2010 or 11 that foresaw a global pandemic that would do the very thing that occurred in 2020. You also have the Transition Integrity Project, which foresaw the election debacle. Well, so you have all these things that people are so prescient about. They're able to predict these things, yet they unfold like a script is being played out here. And you're right. I mean, if you look at the entire year, 2020 seemed to be like a color revolution. And of course, now it really looks like a color revolution, because the color revolution is when you stage an event, stage some violent events, and you blame the government and you unseat the government or overthrow the president or prime minister or dictator or whatever. And they seem to have done that with Donald Trump through a combination of shutting down the economy. Then they unleashed these riots in the summer. And then you had this created the conditions, the pandemic created the conditions for a very, debate or very a fraudulent election. We had the mail-in balloting, the suspension of regular rules. Several states were allowed to rewrite their election laws unconstitutionally, which then the courts ignore. So we have these illegal electoral college votes that are sent to Congress. All institutions ignore this. It's the Department of Justice ignoring the fraud. You have the state governments and legislatures ignoring, the fraud in their states. You have the courts ignoring it. And then we're kind of gaslit when we're told that none of this is really happening. There's no evidence of election fraud, yet we all see it, And then, of course, despite the media blackout, you have more than half the country kind of aware of the election fraud. But then with the events on January 6th on Capitol Hill, the so-called insurrection, the skirmishes they had with a few protesters, they're able to flip this around and make it seem like Donald Trump is the insurrectionist. And now they make these wild accusations if he's guilty of inciting or directing this thing with anything but that occurred. Yet they're still pushing this crazy impeachment effort, which I don't think anyone really supports. Yet if you watch the media, you seem like there's a groundswell of support for it. But really, what we're really seeing is just a narrative to create a false reality to justify a certain political agenda. Now, the impeachment could be a number of things. It could be to get rid of Trump quicker than they would, less than 10 days. I don't know why. Or it's to switch the narrative, because by delegitimizing President Trump, you delegitimize what he represented, which is populism, and you legitimize Joe Biden because he – more than half the country either knows or suspects that he won fraudulently. He had a fraudulent victory, and so now this is an attempt to change the narrative, create reality, a new reality where Trump is the one who broke all the rules and Biden is the one that won legitimately, when that's anything but. But yeah, it's almost like we're watching a thing play out here. And the odd thing is, you watch this, it has nothing to do with reality, though, because, here's my point, is if the media decided to take the events that occurred on Capitol Hill on January 6th and portray it as a righteous outburst of anger and frustration with an entrenched, corrupt political class, the whole thing would have a different tone to it, right? I mean, if a good example, when Yeltsin surrounded his parliament in 1991, he was considered heroic. So it all depends on what type of spin you want to put on it.
Yeah, there's so much psychological warfare going on now, and this coming right out of Orwell. in fact, there's the Nazi term Weltanschauungskrieg, which mm-hmm. is worldview warfare, which is actually the science of coercion. 2 and 2 equals what we say it does. And if you disagree, then you're on the list. We're going to blacklist you, and then we're going to, whatever, gang stalk you. We're going to, put you in a FEMA camp or whatever. So this is actually. Tim, if you look at so much of what has happened, okay, 9/11 was obviously, well, to those of us who have researched it, and I've got a website, 911nwo.com, those of us who have researched it long ago concluded that this was state-sponsored false flag synthetic terrorism against the domestic population. So this is a form of warfare. Terrorism is, political warfare. It's the use of force or the threat of force to subjugate domestic populations. Well, gang stalking is right out of that same kind of hybrid warfare, psychological warfare toolkit, which is the policy of the U.S. military and has been certainly since the revolution in military affairs back in the 70s and 80s. We're on the electronic battlefield now. We're under hybrid warfare conditions, and that's economic warfare, psychological warfare, cyber warfare, civilian military warfare, irregular forces, special operations forces, hybrid warfare, asymmetric warfare, unconventional warfare. There's low intensity conflict. There's just many, many, many different synonyms. But the way I put it together, we are under attack in unconventional or fourth generation warfare to bring in the technocracy, the smart grid, the smart cities, which is, of course, the UN and Agenda 2030, which is the Go Direct system. So it's all a piece in the minds of the psychopaths that rule us, and they've been working on this for a long, long time. And, you know, we can identify many, many of the individuals. We can identify now. They're very exposed. You know, all these big tech people are very exposed. They're criminals, you know, the Zuckerbergs and the Bill Gateses and Bezos and whatnot. Very exposed, the Faucis, et cetera, big pharma that stand to make trillions. These people are criminals. They certainly deserve the punishment to the maximum of the law. I think our best bet is, of course, to try to stay nonviolent, because if they do draw us into a civil war, that could be horrendous and hideous and be the end of the republic for sure. And also, if we can, to use humor. But we must call these people out. These are psychopaths. They're pedophiles. They're you know, real lowlifes. And yet they get away with murder. They've gotten away with murder. They got away with 9/11. They got away with the assassination of Kennedy. It's coming out of the intelligence agencies that work for the foundations and the Federal Reserve and the international bankers, the synagogue of Satan, the occultists, the Masons, etc. That's how I put it together in my five websites. And in terms of the election chaos is the plan right now, I believe. And Whitney Webb is one of these shining lights, a very, very energetic reporter, American female living in Chile, who's written extensively on the Jeffrey Epstein scandal and extensively on the war gaming of our post-election chaos by Unit 8200, which is Israel's NSA as part of the Israeli Defense Forces. So, in fact, she even, you know, says, okay, well, they've got a cutout called Cyber Reason. And for the last 2 years, they've been war gaming our election chaos. And their red hacker team has Sam Curry and a number of women. And they have a simulation called the Broken Eagle Task Force with a skull for the logo. Of course, the eagle is the national bird of the USA. And Sam Curry is quoted in a movie that they made about this, saying he relished doing these gaming exercises. So if you're looking for Curry works at National Security Institute, along with Paul Wolfowitz and Jack Keane, career operative in the U.S. Military's Institute for the Study of War, run by the Jewish Kagan family and the Jewish PNAC neocons, and also the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and was former general counsel to the CIA. So what we have is the national security state of the United States is now the binational security state, according to Whitney Webb, more or less run by Eric Schmidt, the Jew who founded Google. And of course, he's all ganged up with Ray Kurzweil, and they want, you know, immortality for themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And they want to hook up the rest of us, turn us into cyborgs on the cloud. And so these people have a vision for the future, which, of course, favors them as chosen ones of God. They actually do believe they're a different species. They do believe they are managing us like livestock or cattle or resources like oil or wood or something like that. So, again, if you get into studying the Jewish religion, for instance, or the Masons, which is, of course, based on the Jewish Kabbalah, which is the black magic system out of Babylon that the Jews adopted. It's you know, pure Satanism. If you study that quote unquote religion, which is more like a manual for a gang of criminals, you realize that it's based on hatred of all non-Jews and the presumption that they're going to rule the world, because that's what God. Their God is Satan, of course. God gives them that right, they believe. And what they're doing is playing out this script, which is thousands of years old. And it's so obvious, if you've studied this, as I have quite a bit. I've got a long series of articles that I wrote. Is Crestone Baca, Colorado, the Vatican City of the New World Order, an expose of the New World Religion, which is really a study of the UN and their religion, which is Satanism. And David Spangler, one of their New Age guys, said, hey, you know, in order to get into the New World Order, everybody's going to have a Luciferic initiation. Well, guess what? In the vaccine, they've got this thing called Luciferase.
Yes.
Which kind of lights up, kind of lights up your subcutaneous skin so they can, you know, read the code, barcode on your, you know, because you're now a piece of their property.
Yeah, you're so, cattle, yeah.
Yeah, you actually are, you know, just a piece of merchandise to them. So as far as I'm concerned, these people are subhuman. They are not superhuman. They are satanic psychopaths who are very, very dangerous. Psychopaths are it's just kind of a separate category in psychology, people who do not feel conscience, do not experience the pangs of conscience, and therefore capable of committing the greatest of all crimes. And if we look, and you know, Tex Mars, who I respect greatly, unfortunately passed away a few years ago. He's written some 70 books, was a Christian pastor and an Air Force officer. And he one of his more recent books was on psychopaths. Another one was on the Holy Serpent of the Jews. The rabbis' plan for the Holy Serpent to defeat all their enemies and vault the Jews into world dominance. But this has always been the plan. Anybody can go through their quotes. I've got so many of them on my website, where over the centuries they pronounced that they are the master race and we're scum, and they it's their job to rule us, and they're going to have this Jewish universal empire, Jewish utopia. And we're very close to that now, and they are running for the goal lines. Now, you know, and even in their manifesto of declaration of war and battle plan, which is the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, which came out about 1900, they say, hey, unbeknownst to the stupid goyim, we've been stage managing history for centuries. And our plan, our MO is to use force and make believe. So the make believe aspect then is reimagining things, the, you know, which they're going to reimagine all these smart cities. And this is what they always say. Oh, 9-1-1 was a failure of imagination. Now we're going to reimagine everything. Well, what they're reimagining is tikkun olam, which is the Hebrew word for reinventing the world. Satan doesn't want God's world. Satan doesn't want God's crown of God's creation to be around. That's humans. And so they want to take it over. And this is their plan. They're obviously doing it now with this just draconian maximum evil plan to hook up everybody to the Pentagon cloud. And again, if you study the history of mind control and behavioral control coming out of the CIA's MK Ultra, Macy conferences, and Britain's Ratio Club, et cetera, there's 100 years worth of backdrop to all of this technology that has been under black projects. And of course, then you get into the electromagnetic frequencies and all that those black projects. Unfortunately, the U.S. government, military, CIA is involved. So don't look for a big heroic coming to save the day at the last minute by the U.S. military and the CIA. They are part of this system, and they've sold their soul, as far as I'm concerned, to the demonic forces. And that also can be demonstrated, much like the Nazis did. I believe the Nazis actually did sell for certain information. They teamed up with certain demons. This goes back also to John Dee in Britain with the Rosicrucians in this, you know, 15 and 1600s, Francis Bacon, etc. They were trying to figure out how to conquer the world through black magic. And this involved, you know, opening themselves up to demonic possession in a process called theurgy, where they summon the good angels. Well, hard to tell a good angel from a bad angel, I think, from what I read. And chances are that they have been taken over by bad angels. In other words, by demons. And those demons, if you're a Christian, it's not too hard to believe that. Talks about that a lot in the Bible. So this is what we're up against. We're up against these powers and principalities with their human agents. And the plan that they have is very, very dark, very, very dark. And so we need our guiding lights, people like Catherine Austin Fitz and Whitney Webb. And just you put it together real well, Tim. We need our voices of sanity and reason to help wake people up to what's at stake here.
Yeah, it's interesting how this goes back to alchemy and Kabbalah and Hermetic traditions and idea of magic and the conjurers, where they summon spirits to have, you know, to have their will be done. Whereas, that, of course, that's the opposite of, you know, the Christian understanding of prayer. And I guess you imagine if you're going to conjure up a spirit to help you conquer the world or sleep with your neighbor's wife, whatever, it's not going to be an angel that does. That's going to be a fallen angel that sees that did it. And it's you see this with technology. Of course, there was little, you know, that old saying that goes that, you know, the difference between magic and advanced technology, there's hardly any difference. I think it was the person who wrote Childhood's End.
Arthur C. Clarke.
Yeah. Who I think allegedly was himself a Luciferian, you know. You see this desire to, you know, it goes back to this Luciferian dream of becoming like God. They're trying to attain that through technology, which is just black magic, you know, another form of magic, I guess you could say. A lot of people hearing this and go, what are you talking about here? That seems pretty crazy. I mean, how could they do this? And if you look at, you know, Catherine Austin Fitch she studies money, the flow of money. And the old saying, follow the money and you can solve the crime, because that's how affairs are organized on this planet. And she's, in that essay, she says, the reality is the world is organized. Organizing principle is conspiracy. And the trick is that those in power, the oligarchs, trick the masses not to believe in conspiracy or even to try to engage in any conspiracy. But she says that the best way to fight this is to, you know, form your own conspiracy against it and organize on that. And right now there's you have to identify, connect the dots and follow the money. And you can lay out a schematic, you know, like with the pandemic, connecting all the organizations, was the World Health Organization, Imperial College of London, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Gavi, Johns Hopkins University, you know, and all these, the World Economic Forum, they're all involved in wargaming this thing. Then they're also involved in organizing the response, supposedly, you know. So there they are, you know, in a position to direct the response to this thing, which, you know, surprisingly consolidates more power in their hands and more wealth. I think the billionaires have made an average of $40 billion a week in 2020. All the measures, enrich these corporations. Recently that Bill Gates was looking to buy up a private jet corporation. At the same time, he's advocating lockdown policies, which promises to destroy commercial airlines. Gee, isn't that great? Once again, they're in a position to change reality. These oligarchs, they can change reality. They can have policies changed in their favor. And then, of course, if you do the research, you'll find a lot of these people were in a position to maneuver their investments to make a whole lot of money just before the lockdown. Do you really think that Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates didn't know that a lockdown was coming or that there was a virus coming to lock? Of course they did, you know, and that should be investigated. It's insider trading. But as you mentioned, the Justice Department isn't free to investigate this, nor any other investigative agencies in other states, because all these all these governments are reliant upon the central banks for their funding. Because all Western economies are debt-based economies based on the central banking warfare model, which is a usurious debt-based system. So how independent can they be? You know, when J.P. Morgan runs your payroll at the Justice Department, think the Justice Department's going to really investigate J.P. Morgan? You know, that's what Catherine Austin Fitch points out. That's the structural problem that we have now is not just the American people or the population were not really being aware of it, having the consciousness, but then there's the issue of they control all these centers of power, levers of power, and they can buy up politicians if they have. They can control the media, which we see. That's what Bill Gates does. I think he spent over $100 million just in the past 10 years on media. I mean, he literally buys infomercials on like CNN and calls them interviews, and it's astonishing. But one thing that you point out on your article, on your website, and since the work that Catherine Austin Fitz has done, is she has that map of all the riots, and, you know, the major riots occurring in Federal Reserve Bank cities, and how you can map this out and see that this is a real estate hustle going on here, right? I mean,
real estate acquisition plan is how she puts it. Yes, and of course she was assistant director of HUD, you know, Housing and Urban Development, so she knows all about that. And she also knows all about following the money, because back in the late 80s, under George H.W. Bush, this was the huge, it was a huge scam with the savings and loans and the HUD and everything. Mm-hmm. And she tried to fix that. So she's one of these people who actually can follow the money when it comes to trillions of dollars. And as you mentioned, a very, very engaging, fantastic lady. She got together with some people that are her subscribers in her newsletter, and they started mapping out these cities where the riots had occurred. And she wanted to ask, okay, how many of these have branches of the Federal Reserve Bank? And turns out, of places, 37 cities where there was rioting, 34 of them had Federal Reserve Banks. And it turned out that the rioting itself seemed to be concentrated in areas that were called HUD opportunity zones. And,
yes.
And then she explained that HUD opportunity zones were created in a law in 2018, which allowed the high-tech billionaires like Jeff Bezos to go ahead and invest their stock capital gains in real estate. And of course, if you can go ahead and declare businesses non-essential, and then you get your thugs to go in and destroy the businesses, then Jeff Bezos and his buddies can go pick up that real estate for real cheap. And then, of course, then they've got a good head start on the smart city infrastructure, which, of course, was where they want to take it. They want to reimagine the cities. And, of course, they're going to the plan, according to UN Agenda 2030, is to move Americans out of the rural areas and put them into this stack 'em and pack 'em smart cities, where you'll only have, well, you'll have nothing, but you'll be happy. You know,
yes.
Klaus Schwab's phrase, you know, and you know, he's all very misty-eyed about how wonderful this is going to be. But of course, what they're talking about is the most phenomenal slavery system that has ever even been conceived. And these people will be the slave masters, and they will be fantastically rich, and they will live as gods forever. And, you know, it'd be just swell and hunky-dory if you're a Satanist. But of course, this plan is so outrageous, and it flies in the face of nature and God's will. So it's hard to imagine that it will actually succeed, but personally, I think we better do our best to try to help make sure it doesn't succeed by letting people know, because they're very, right now, they're very concerned about, as Catherine Austin Fitz says, they're very concerned about extending the dollar system as the reserve currency, even while they usher in this new system. At the same time, they kind of keep everybody in the dark about what's happening, you know, as they're herding the sheep into the slaughterhouse, as she says. So, yeah, the riots, the damage in the cities really does show disaster capitalism that favors these high-tech billionaires like Bezos and Gates, et cetera. And it's just more fingerprints of the total plan, which is, again, it's a fascist communist revolution. It is I would say it's the Jewish universal empire, Jewish utopia now being extended to the whole world as they radically depopulate the planet. This is their plan, I think, to mass murder most of us and then enslave the remaining few. So we're talking eugenics, we're talking euthanasia, we're talking premeditated mass murder. These are the criminals of the highest order. Now we're talking Jeff Bezos, we're talking the CIA, we're talking the military, we're talking you know, the tech giants, the big pharma giants, the six Jews who own 96% of the world's media, et cetera, et cetera. We have them identified. There they are in the pillars. Stanley Fisher, the vice president of the Bank of Israel, who chaired this meeting in Jackson Hole, arch criminal Lawrence Fink, who is heading up another Jew, heads up BlackRock Investment which now oversees $7 trillion in investment from retirement funds, et cetera. They are, according to Catherine Austin Fitz, charged with bringing in this great reset, go direct. So, you know, these people are exposed. These people are, and of course, Schumer and Pelosi and the criminals in Congress who have most are highly compromised through the Jeffrey Epstein sex bribery, scandals, et cetera. All of these people should be lined up and shot. I mean, that would be the humane thing to do. We are dealing here with monsters. We're dealing here with arch fiends.
Yeah, there was a you're familiar with the Reese Committee hearings of the 1950s.
Yep.
And how there was an attempt by Congress, I think a real attempt, to rein in these foundations and the powers that they represented. This is back when they didn't have the full measure of control that they enjoy today. But there was an attempt to investigate this and the role of the foundations of subversion and undermining the American way of life. There, back then, there was a sense of what un-American meant. And I don't think now you can make that because they've also done a number with the country's demographics, knowing that, you know, if you do flood the country in with multiple, with immigrants, and you break up the homogeneous nature of American culture, it's much easier to control and divide. And you see that kind of being played out throughout the Western world, the prominent role of Jewish organizations in promoting mass migration, weaponized migration. In fact, that's a strategy of warfare. Whether it's certain countries or certain states, United States like Maine or something, where you'll read articles that Vermont in Maine is too white or something, as if that's a problem. And it's been done at also at a more local level in the United States in the middle part of the 20th century when they used urban renewal and also integration to break up ethnic neighborhoods, particularly the Catholic ethnic neighborhoods, to change the country's demographics, ultimately its politics and its culture. And as as we're discussing tonight, is there are people who are paid well to study such things and devise psychological warfare. I mean, I think it was under the Eisenhower administration when there was the Psychological Strategy Planning Board, right? I mean, and what's that all about? Well, it's about engaging in psychological warfare against the public, and they weren't targeting the Russians; they were targeting the American people in this. That's the primary target of these efforts, and that's what you referenced. Worldview warfare. That's what Christopher Simpson writes about in his book Science of Coercion. The study of mass communication for the study of psychological warfare. Of course, we're seeing that well advanced today with the media coverage and. That we're given with these events, the narratives that we're given with these events, we're told what to think about them. And if we don't think right about them, we are disintegrated, almost like they did in East Germany, where you become a non-person. We now have, actually, they're literally calls to have senators put on no-fly lists because of their support for the election audit.
Yeah, and Trump has been deplatformed,
Yeah, the President of the United States has been deplatformed. So these big tech companies are more powerful than the United States government. And this was something that the started, this rant with talking about the Reese Committee. I mean, this is something that the committee was investigating. And of course, to show you who had more power, that investigation was shut down, but it did get a peek in what was really going on. So this goes way back. I mean, that's the birth, the creation of these tax-free foundations to begin with were there to not only to evade taxes, the income tax, but also it was there to set up a system whereby you could set up almost like a parallel government and engage in subversion all with these tax-exempt organizations. That's what the Rockefeller, Carnegie Foundation would do. They would study these events. They would chair university, fund certain chairs of universities, study research. The research would go out. It'd be published in Time magazine or Life magazine, part of Henry Luce's Time Life Empire, which ties back to Skull and Bones and CIA and OSS and all that. And people would read this in the dentist office, and their minds would be changed by it. Then you could pass the laws once the people's minds have been changed. And so this is how it's done. So we have this, you know, this is the site. It's very, very sophisticated. And you're not going to read about it in New York Times. So people aren't aware of it. But we have to have some sovereign authority that can investigate and hold these people accountable. Because what? How do you control billionaires? You know, if you can have a system where people can accumulate wealth, unlimited wealth, once they get that wealth, they're going to leverage that wealth politically and culturally. Once they get to that point, how do you control a Jeff Bezos or a Bill Gates or a Rothschild when they have such immense wealth? There's an issue of governance here. How do you control them? You can't if the government's not sovereign. Obviously, you don't have equality before the law because they can do whatever the hell they want. And, you know, they're not being investigated. But if you had a sovereign government, you'd have grand jury investigations into like Soros's connections to the Open Society Foundation, to these mobs and to the various DAs and sheriffs that have been elected with his money that go in as agents of chaos, not as, you know, law enforcement agents or there to protect law and order. They're actually there to disrupt. And we got a taste of that last summer with some of these DAs. And there's been some publicity about it. There's been reports about George Soros and down-balloting, you know, funding down-ballot candidates. But there's no suggestion that this is actually acts of subversion should be criminally investigated. And Mr. Soros himself and the people who work for him should be brought in, subpoenaed, brought into questioning and charged. Same with Bill Gates, the World Economic Forum. Why should they be exempt from these things? I mean, if you can build a case that this thing is a fraud, the COVID-19 fraud, that's a massive global crime. You know, and you should have like Interpol issuing arrest warrants, and you know, next month Davos should be raided, but that's not going to happen, is it?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, these are crimes against humanity, but of course, you know, power operates on its own rules, and the CIA, the mafia, the military that are above the law. As well as these foundations and these corporations have figured out how to sidestep mm-hmm. the law and not pay any price. But yeah, this would be the number one mission were we to try to rehabilitate the United States. We'd have to go back to a nation of laws rather than men. But what we've seen is the subversion of that system. You know, speaking as somebody who is a targeted individual mm-hmm. and has tried to study this phenomena. As so many targeted people or individuals around the world have you know, appealed to judges and made lawsuits, et cetera, all to no avail. All these are thrown out of court. So what we have is a fairly monolithic, corrupt judicial system, which apparently is highly infiltrated with military JAGs, judge advocate generals, and masons. According to Kay Griggs, who herself is a targeted individual and former wife of a very, very high Marine Corps operative who was part of the Dulles, Alan Dulles crowd and a Princeton crowd, who was, you know, right in there with the top people and who's also an assassin for the Marines. So what we have is a merger then of the military, the intelligence and the mafia. And with the judicial system,
yeah,
and other areas. So the brotherhood, the organization, they might call themselves, you know, and of course they're making fortunes off the people they destroy, the targeted individuals that they destroy, and they'll take out insurance on them and they'll use them for non-consensual human experimentees and, you know, brain research and things like that. And to see how they different individuals respond to these electromagnetic frequencies that, of course, they're now trying to roll out on everybody. So in a sense, now we're all moving into the same situation that targeted individuals have found themselves in since, you know, since the 50s and 60s. But that has all been suppressed very, very effectively, or at least mostly suppressed. But that doesn't mean it isn't real and that those people haven't suffered crimes against humanity, because they have and are. So, yeah, we're dealing with a system where, you know, they do crimes against humanity, you know, thousands of them before breakfast, you know, if you're in the mafia state, you know, and you have the power. So how do we rein that in? You ask good questions there. I don't know. I think maybe this last year has been a watershed year in terms of helping people wake up to the extraordinary corruption of, you know, Jeffrey Epstein and Pizzagate, et cetera. Maybe there will be some positive fallout for the new skepticism, which may be coming about. But I see a totalitarian lockdown now of epic proportions coming down very quickly. They want to bankrupt us. They want to, you know, they want to they want to kill us off. So people are going to have to wake up fast. They're going to have to, you know, pull out whatever survival skills they have, and also come back to their own, I think, spiritual core. I think now is the time to, you know, get right with God, but don't cave in. I mean, this is a war between good and evil. This is a war between God and Satan, and get on the right side, by all means, you know, because there's, as Catherine Austin Fitz says, there's no more middle ground anymore. You have to choose. Are you on God's side? You know, are you on the side of His creation and the crown of His creation, humanity, or are you on the side of the psychopath, pedophile, parasites who want a complete silicon-based life form, reinvent reality, destroy God's creation? I mean, this is about as blatant as you can get. It does seem like we're in the book of Revelation, or we're right on the cusp of it right now.
Yeah, one of the tragedies or disappointments of the last year is the failure of the Catholic Church to combat this. In fact, its participation in it, particularly, you know, with the Holy See signing on to the sustainability deals and not understanding, or at least that, of course, the other side of sustainability is population control and abortion and these things. So it's a contradiction there with its official doctrine. But the church is how they folded so easily last March and allowed Easter celebrations to be suspended. And then, of course, they go later in the year and you have this attempt to cancel you know, Christmas celebrations. And, of course, who would want to cancel Easter and Christmas? Yeah. Yet the good sign is a lot of people just simply didn't comply in Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I think there is some recognition now that something is definitely wrong. The credibility, I think, of the mainstream media is shot, at least in more than half the population. I think much more than that. So they've really undermined their credibility. And so now, right now could be the hour of maximum peril. It's also the hour of maximum opportunity, because so much is out there now. People, it's getting hard to deny it now. Normal people, normies, so-called, are now are being forced to wake up to this. And if they're not quite sure what's happening, they know something's definitely wrong. A good example was in New York. A recent bill was submitted. New York State legislature is proposing detaining citizens potentially dangerous to the public, meaning people who are suspected disease carriers. It was if passed, Governor Cuomo will probably sign it. The 2021 bill in New York has just been filed, but it hasn't been passed yet, but it appears to have support. If legislated, it will be the first instance of a state-authorized detention sentence for anyone who is deemed to be potentially dangerous to the public. Deemed to be potentially dangerous. Now, aren't we all potentially dangerous? And this is all good, done under the cover of COVID.
The magic virus. Yes.
Yeah.
The magic virus, which David Icke and John Rappaport and others believe doesn't even really exist.
Yes.
I mean, it's better if it doesn't exist, because then they can just put whatever characteristics they want on it and change it over time. And it's perfect for their scam.
Yeah. They even say there's a mutant virus.
Yes.
Don't all viruses mutate? But it sounds scary.
Yes, you know, it is phenomenal, of course. You know, fear and ignorance is the way to manipulate human beings. And my gosh, what's the old H.G. Wells comment? Civilization is a contest between education and catastrophe. Well, we're there. you know, if people don't educate themselves as to what's going on, then we will really have the end of Christian civilization, which, you know, which will mean the earth is not going to be a very sweet or pleasant place to live. It's going to be hell on Earth, much like the Soviet Union was, only worse, you know.
Well, better to rule in hell than serve in heaven, right? So.
Well, that's what the Satanists would say. Mm-hmm. I disagree with that. But
one thing I do find it's interesting is that you mentioned all these programs, whether it's Warp Speed, Jedi Cloud, this use of science fiction in these programs.
Yes.
You have any thoughts on that? Why do they do that? Is that because it's there to get acceptance by the public because we associate Jedi Knights to being good and Warp Speed, or that's Star Trek, and that's neat and fast, and just accept it because this is predictive programming and, you know, sort of out of Hollywood?
I your speculation is probably better than mine on this, but, you know, I just heard recently somebody saying that, well, 2020 was the Empire Strikes Back, you know, and 2021 could be the Return of the Jedi, you know, and that's if we get our act together and push back, you know. But yeah, it does seem that there's a whole generation and a half or two of people who grew up, you know, with these movies and these video games, etc., whose minds are very much kind of melded with these modern myths.
NSA general who like built a mock of the Enterprise Bridge or something? I heard a few years ago.
So could be. I'm not aware of that. You know, I mean, obviously, the military is a vast culture in and of itself. You know.
Well, explain to me the career of General Aquino, Colonel Aquino, rather. The Satanist who was the chief. I think had the Pentagon. He was the head chaplain or something.
Well, he's the guy who wrote with Paul Valady, wrote the article in 1980 called Mind War.
Yeah.
And he was one of these Vietnam vets who was, you know, very interested in seeing more and more psychological warfare operations against Americans who opposed the war effort. And now regarding any peaceniks, for instance, as the enemy, and they're going to take them out with all these psychological warfare and gang stalking and electronic mechanisms. So these guys, very, very deadly. John Alexander.
He's like a John Dee character almost.
Well, he is in the sense that he founded the Temple of Set, which is another one of these satanic religions. He lived at the Presidio in California for a long time and is accused. And many think he's guilty of a lot of pedophilia, in other words, raping a lot of children as part of his, you know, religious ceremonies. And this is a very unseemly side of the Pentagon. But, you know, the Pentagon decided that Satanism is a valid religion amongst their yes. employees. And it was certainly seen that, you know, Satanism would go along well for those who want to kill and maim and destroy. And that is certainly the assignment. I mean, the Department of Death is, you know, $800 billion a year, 800 military bases around the world. And now I'm sure there's lots and lots of good military people, but, you know, they are in a chain of command. And you get somebody like Aquino or John Alexander or Valady over you, and you have to obey orders, you know. And these guys are sick, to say the least. John Alexander is also in this think tank called the Aviary. He was pushing the non-lethal exotic weapons all through the 70s and 80s, promoting them. And again, they're used in the gang stalking. And 5G, of course, is another example of you know, weaponized frequencies in the gigahertz range. This is the revolution in military affairs, using technologies that Tesla invented, for instance, that have been weaponized by the military. As neuro weapons, for instance, which is a new kind of weapon that was unleashed at Havana, the Havana syndrome, and also in China. And this is big business for these contractors, military contractors that sell these weapons then to the military. And this is what has driven, unfortunately, the U.S. economy since World War II. This is the deal we've made with the devil.
Yeah, this was, Catherine Fitz spells this out in their state of the currency, where after the fall of the Berlin Wall and the collapse, you know, of the Soviet Union, the Cold War ended, and the United States was going to establish this unipolar world. And but at the same time, it also wanted to maintain its consumer-driven economy. And this is when China started being utilized after years of development by the Rockefellers. It starts back and goes back to the 70s and the petrodollar and Kissinger's outreach to China. The idea that you could outsource the labor, get rid of high wages in the United States and troublesome labor unions, and use the all that labor in Asia, particularly China. Of course, China then would turn around and sell us, import the goods, and they would take those dollars and invest in U.S. treasuries. And this is something, a model that stopped working in 2019, because China started to, you know, the idea of China maneuvering to get out from under the dollar, and of course the Belt and Road Initiative and these things. And so there's all types of geopolitical wrangling involved in this. But again, China's role in this is difficult to spell out. A lot of people are blaming China. You hear a lot of that, but China itself was developed by the globalist, and that isn't to say that China, as old as a civilization, old as it is, may have its own agenda, but nevertheless, it's part of this sort of this globalist plan. So now you have this, you know, situation where now they're trying to, as Kathmandu Fitz says, is transfer over to a post-currency era while extending the life of the dollar till they can make this transference. Of course, the Great Reset is a part of this. Perhaps it's the objective, because with part of the Great Reset is this necessary establishment of a techno-tyranny that Whitney Webb writes about. If you know the artificial intelligence security and these things that we're competing with China, and the creation of a social credit system to monitor and manage everything to make the technocratic system viable, because that's not, if you're not based on supply, demand, and currencies, you need something to regulate things. And one, they think it's resource based, and with the artificial intelligence, they have the capability to organize it on those principles. I don't know if that's going to work or not. It could be just another, you know, bad experiment like socialism, where there's an information problem. But nevertheless, they think they have the smarts with our artificial intelligence to coordinate this. But in order to roll this out, the Great Reset, which is they're openly talking about now, because remember, it was supposed to be 15 days to flatten the curve, and then all of a sudden it became the new normal and the Great Reset that, for, you know, dozens of hundreds of leaders start talking about simultaneously, reading from the same playbook, coincidentally, of course. But in order to do this, you need the Internet of Things to organize all that information and monitor everything, to monitor everybody. And this is why you have the simultaneous rollout of 5G, which was a neural weapon, if I'm not mistaken, developed by the Israelis, being used, being, you know, sold to everybody so you can watch movies faster, download information faster. That's being rolled out everywhere, the, you know, 5G. And of course, no one's really, it was getting a lot of kickback or opposition before the COVID thing. But 5G is a network that's necessary to manage the Internet of Things, which is necessary for the techno tyranny, which makes the Great Reset possible. So it's all integrated. But again, you take something like 5G, which a lot of people were worried about. Now no one's really fighting it anymore. At least I'm not seeing much opposition to it now, because it's necessary, because apparently.
Yeah, and as you say, this is very integrated because 5G, which is a weaponized frequency of around, well, between 0 and 100 gigahertz, that's very, 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 very high frequency. 60 gigahertz, you actually limit the ability of the lungs to process and ingest oxygen.
What does that sound like?
Well, it sounds a lot like COVID, you know, and of
Yes.
course. Yeah, and of course this is not an exact, not an accident, because they do expect then to be able to write off these lung problems as COVID rather than as 5G. But yeah, 5G is bad news for your health.
Well,
It's horrible news.
electromagnetic or electrical pollution is a very serious health issue. It doesn't get a lot of press, but it is a problem. Well, some people are more sensitive than others. Some people, you know, but you write, there's that book, was it The Electric Rainbow by Furstenberg, or what's his name? Furstenberg. But talks about this every time they've rolled out a new technology, whether it's radio, radar, wireless, that a certain percentage of the population gets ill with it and they can't cope with it.
Right. You know? Right. Right. And that goes back to the Spanish flu, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we live in a you know, our air is, there's so much electro pollution that our, say, grandparents would not have been subject to. So we are, you know, always running this experiment on our own species. And of course, once we get into the realm of these vaccines, then we're talking about using everybody as a guinea pig in untested vaccines, and we're in violation of the Nuremberg Code and the Geneva Accords, just as we are, of course, with the targeted individuals who have been used as non-consensual human experimentees in just this kind of program over decades. So, you know, and this kind of calls to mind something that I was just listening to Catherine Austin Fitz's most recent interview of December 22nd. And she said, you know, she'd gotten wind that top people in government have had actually more than one meeting, you know, over the past several decades to see if they could, you know, just kind of get rid of the secrecy. But they decided it would be impossible because the liability would be too great. In other words, the crimes they have committed under these black projects are so vast and so heinous. And of course, I've done a lot of research on that in the context of my research on gang stalking and mind control, et cetera, that they just can't own up to it. You know, you know, it is a mafia state. We do have mafia states. We don't have governments. We don't have representative governments. We have governments that represent the moneyed interests, the less than 1%. And they are all ganged up, of course, with the mafias. And slavery, according to Catherine Austin Fitz, is their most profitable venture. So what we're seeing then is a rollout of the technocracy, which will enslave us all, technocratic enslavement, and move us into a post-human cyborg status. Obviously, this is something to be resisted. The you know, our Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights, our Constitution are all based on the notion that we have divine rights that are not given to us by government, that are given to us by God. And these technocrats, Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and Zuckerberg, et cetera, Fauci, they have no right to take away our sovereign, divinely given rights. And in fact, doing so is a crime against humanity. So we're dealing now with a criminal class that's a breakaway civilization that is now going for the gold. And, you know, let's pray to God and let's keep rowing to shore and let's take them down. Let's not cooperate. We are paying these people to kill us and maim us, as Catherine Austin Fitz points out. You know, we're supporting these people. You know, let's get out of Big Pharma. Let's get out of Big Tech. Let's get out of, you know, the cloud. Let's get out of even our cell phones if we can, because, of course, that's a tracking device. And they can use that to collect all big data on us and then put us into their, you know, what they're going to be calling it, pharmacovigilance here pretty soon.
Yes.
Oracle and Google have contracts now with, you know, with the Pentagon, with Operation Warp Speed, to track and trace every recipient of the vaccine for 2 years. Well, that'll make them targeted individuals, just like I've been.
Yes, yes. Where,
yeah, 24/7 surveillance on you. They can, they know what you're doing. They know more about what's going on in your own body than you do. They can see out of your eyes and hear out of your ears.
Well, that's all part of the nanotechnology of these vaccines, yeah. The so-called vaccine. Like Catherine Austin Fitz doesn't call it a vaccine. She calls it injections or toxins. They're not traditional vaccines. Right. You know?
Exactly. That's a good point. But what I'm saying is that the horrors that targeted individuals have suffered for decades, and I know something about this because I'm one myself, will now be visited on, you know, huge segments of the population. And, you know, it drives people to suicide, drives people to crimes of passion, drives people, it destroys people's lives. And so these technologies are evil incarnate, And if people want to keep their head in the sand and say it doesn't exist, well, I guess you go the way of a dodo bird, you know. But if you have a survival instinct and you want a quality of life and you believe in, you know, God and you know, the divinely given our rights that are guaranteed by God, then you might wake up and do something about it, you know, do everything you can about it. Get educated first, and then push back with everything you can, peacefully and hopefully with humor. But certainly don't let this system overtake us, because the people behind it are devils. I can say this without any hesitation. We're dealing with human devils here.
Yeah, Catherine Fitz says the Achilles heel of the whole project is that the people designing this, implementing this, and, you know, ultimately, you know, supporting it are arch materialists, and therefore they don't have a full grasp on reality. And because they're arch materialists, it's destined to failure, because something like this is incompatible with nature and nature's creator. So it cannot work. It isn't to say they cause a whole lot of misery in the process. History's full of that, examples of that, but it's destined to failure. It's an audacious and ultimately hubristic and Luciferian project, and any Luciferian project is destined to failure, because Lucifer isn't more powerful than God. You know.
Right. And we are not machines, you know.
No.
They're using the machine model, you know, trying to make us into machines, because of course that would be more profitable for them, you know.
Yeah, but the machine can't write Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
Exactly.
You know, a machine can't even tell a joke. So, well, I mean, it's, you know.
But I feel like our leaders, you know, our would-be leaders have reached a point. Of course, I spent 30 years teaching in universities, and I feel like they're of the mind that, okay, we know enough now. Let's, you know, for those remaining questions, let's just take a vote, and we proclaim what's true. In the age of supercomputers, you know, we say what's true. We don't have to go out and discover reality anymore, like we thought we did for all those, you know, centuries and millennia. There's a hubris, there's an arrogance that is involved with the Satanism, which is that now we're gods. Now we run the system. Now we create false truth and falsehood. And these people, of course, are, you know, they are, you know, They're doomed to a very dramatic failure. We read to the end of the book of Revelation and know that is the end result. But meanwhile, they can sure make a lot of misery,
yes.
Like you say, are making a lot of misery for a lot of people.
Yeah. So look at the suicide rates, the drug addiction rates, anxiety and fear that people are feeling, and of course that's not good for people's health. Like I've always said, the biggest. Taking it back to the whole pandemic thing is supposedly these are containment measures. Well, the biggest driver of disease is poverty, you know. And like I said,
right. If
they have their way, we're going to have bubonic plague back again in the West, because there'll be poverty. And that's what drives it's poverty. And that's why, you know, if you hurt the economy, and he said when this whole thing started last year, I said, they're not that stupid. This is intentional. And the, you know, as the evidence came out and you just observed things, it was clear that this was a plan. You know, they're destroying businesses on purpose. They're making people miserable on purpose. Everyone's saying, why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? You have local politicians who have no regard for their economies or the constituents. It's just the oddest thing. Well, oddly enough, is we found out why they don't fear being reelected. They can manipulate elections, you know, or maybe they don't even foresee having elections pretty soon. You know, that's but again, that there, you know, that one lady out in California where she had to watch where a film company was allowed to set up a tent and operate feed the people, where her small little restaurant was shut down. And she did a video that went viral on it. She was interviewed by, she said, I feel like my business is being taken from me. He says, well, it is being taken from you. That's the point. So it's not as if the mayor of LA or the governor of California, the governor of New York, governor of Maine, or governor of Michigan, they're not aware of what they're doing. They don't, nor are they, it's not as if they don't care. This is the objective. And that's how you have to look at these things. I know, I mean, blaming the politicians is only one level because they're just managers, but you have to you work your way up the totem pole all the way up to the elite. But it's that the plan is economic destruction. It's economic warfare. It's power consolidation, wealth transfer, and the immiseration of the human race to ultimately reduce its population, which how they see how they can run things because of machines and their Luciferian technology. It's a fantasy, but as you said, it do a lot of harm in the meantime as they try to achieve this weird, you know, this twisted vision. So, well, almost at an hour and a half. Anything else to say, or think we covered it? Or
well, you know, I appreciate the conversation, Tim. It's great to talk to somebody who gets it, and Godspeed and everything for getting the word out. I would just say, you know, the New Republic of the United States was visited by a French historian named Alexis de Tocqueville in the early 1800s, and he traveled around America and he wrote a book about it. And he said America is great because Americans are good. When Americans stop being good, America will stop being great. And unfortunately, I think, you know, we have had the great falling away. We're no longer really a Christian nation, although there is a claim that we are. I think that, you know, the powers that be have learned to corrupt individuals, you know, with bribery, et cetera, like a third world dictator. You know, hey, we'll pay you this if you'll just abandon your own people. If you'll just sell out your people, we'll, you know, you'll be a billionaire, a millionaire, whatever. Well, this is what's happened with, of course, our California governor and our New York governor mm-hmm. and our local leader. They've all opted for greed and short-term self-aggrandizement at the expense of the common good. And I don't know if that's a reversible trend. I'd like to think that there might be a religious awakening now, but we certainly need it. So this is a spiritual battle. We do need to get right with God, I believe, to go into the next phases and to survive it, because we are up against the real dark powers. And so that's what all I would say is Americans have a legacy of being good people, good-hearted people, and religion was at the core of that, and I hope we can find it again.
And as Catherine Austin Fitz says, we've talked about her a lot tonight. She says there are things worse than death, and slavery is one of them.
Well, yeah. Slavery is one of them. Being a targeted individual is another one potentially. And she says the worst thing, you know, is not dying. The worst thing is losing your soul, and that is very much at stake with this new system. So, yes, put on the armor of God, folks, because this is not a dress rehearsal. We're in it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for coming back on the show.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. It's been a pleasure, and Godspeed to you, and hang in there.
I will wish you a happy new year belatedly. We're still pretty, I guess, still say that, right? Happy new year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll see how things unfold next few days politically here in the States. It'd be interesting to see what happens in the political dynamics under a Biden-Harris administration. It could be, again, God's will, God's way of making everyone more aware, energizing people. That's how these things play out, you know, so won't be complacent or anything like that. So we'll see how it works out. So, okay, well, I'll let you go. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good night, Tim. All the best, and thanks so much.
Well, I'll post this soon. I'll send you the link.
Okay, sounds good.
Good night, then. Bye-bye.